Okay, hello everyone. Oh, you're all asleep this afternoon, I think, aren't you? Yeah, after your big dinner and then you go for a wee sleep in the afternoon, but you didn't get your sleep today, is that right? Yes? No, maybe you were out running the race today, were you? No? Well, it's really good to be here with you all this afternoon and be able to share in your meeting today. And of course, I've been hearing about the good week that you've had. You've been running the race all week. Hands up, who's been running? One or two of you have been running. As you can see, I haven't been. But running the race, of course, has been your theme all week. And you know, just in the verse that you were learning is the verse that I put up for today. The words in my verse are a wee bit different than the words in your verse. But it's the same Bible and the same thing, just one or two words that are different. I should get you to say the verse again, shouldn't I? Are you all asleep? Yeah. Do you think I should get you to say the verse again? Where is it found? Does anyone know? Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter, verse 1b and 2a. Oh, you were more professional than I was because I just put up 1 and 2. And it says there, in the verse that's up here, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God," or right hand of the throne of God. And you've been very good in learning that verse all week. And whenever I was trying to say it along with you, I was saying the wrong words. Isn't that terrible? Yes, I'd need to come to Holly Bible Club and learn it the way that you learned it as well this week. But of course, running the race is very, very important. And this year has been very important because it's been the Olympics. Hands up who has watched the Olympics. Okay? In my house, my two sons sat up half the night to watch the Olympics and then they couldn't get out of bed in the mornings. Wasn't that good? Yes. What did you watch? Let's hear who watched what in the Olympics. What did you watch? Oh, I don't think know whether that was on the Olympics or not, was it? No. What's anybody else watch the Olympics? Yep. Water polo? I don't think I saw any of that. Girls volleyball? I didn't see any of that either. Running? Yes, I saw some of that. Oh, yep. Swimming? I saw a wee bit of that as well. Football? I didn't see any of that either. Yep. Long jump? I saw a wee bit of that. Tennis, and I didn't see any of that either, but I know who won it, the men's anyway, or got a gold medal. So anyway, you can tell me lots of other ones as well. I did watch the show jumping, the horse jumping as well. I had to watch it for, I used to do that many, many years ago, whenever I was very small and thin. The poor horse, I wouldn't get on a horse now for I might kill it. But however, I wonder, can you imagine what it must be like to find out that you're going to go to the Olympics to take part in it? It must be very, very exciting, mustn't it? It's a lot of hard work, but it must be very exciting to go to the Olympics and actually take part in it. Well, this week you've been learning about this man. Does anyone remember what his name was? Who can tell me? Yep. Eric Liddell, yes. Does anyone remember when he was born? It was even before Stevie Wright, which was a long time ago. Can anyone tell me? Yes, do you remember? 1998? No. No, he definitely wasn't born then. Yep. 1944? No, not 1944. Right. 1957. No, not 1957. Maybe that's about whenever Stevie Wright was born. Okay, no, he was born in 1902. That's a long time ago, isn't it? That's way over 100 years ago. I don't think there's even anyone in the church today that's as old as that. 1902, whenever he was born. And he was born into a missionary family. Can anyone remember what country that his parents were missionaries in? Does anyone know? Anyone know? You think you know? In China, yes, very good. There were missionaries in China, and he was brought up in that family, and of course heard all about the Lord Jesus and telling others about the Lord Jesus and what the Lord Jesus could do in their lives and how the Lord Jesus could change their lives. But him and his brother were sent off to boarding school, and in boarding school he took up running. And also he played rugby. That's a good sport to play, isn't it? Girls, you all like rugby? No? Maybe whenever you're older you will. All right. Well, they liked rugby. He played rugby and he also did a lot of running. And he became very, very good at running. Hands up, who does running here? Some of you maybe do running at school. A friend of ours, he's just 10, and she does lots of competitions for running. And she could outrun me. I could hardly run to the window over there without getting out of breath. But she can run and run and run and run, and she does lots and lots of sports doing that as well. Well, he began to do his running, and he became so good at it, and he was winning lots and lots of races, that in 1924, he went to the Olympics in France. And there he competed. Can anyone tell me what race he was supposed to compete in? Does anyone remember? The one that he was very good at running. Yes, you tell me. The 100 meters, yes. And of course, as you heard this week in your stories this week, that the race was on a Sunday and he wouldn't run on a Sunday. Why would he not run on a Sunday? Does anyone know? Why did he not run on a Sunday? Yeah, can you tell me? Yeah, well, another reason as well. Anyone else tell me? Yes? In the stripey, yeah. Another? Because he was a Christian, yes. And he felt it was wrong to run on a Sunday and he wouldn't do it. And of course, then we know how he went to the Olympics, and I'm sure he was sad in one way that he wasn't selected for that race because he wouldn't compete on a Sunday. And, well, he went to the Olympics because there was something that he wanted to get. What did he want to get? What did he want to win? What did he want to win? Yeah, can you tell me? 400 meters. No, before that? A gold medal, yes. Of course he wanted to win a gold medal. And because he wouldn't run on a Sunday. And, well, some people made fun of him because he wouldn't run. Some people were angry with him because he wouldn't run on a Sunday, but he honoured the Lord. And he qualified for the 200 metres and he qualified for the 400 metres. And of course, as you'll know from your story, on the day of the race, someone gave him a piece of paper. What was on the piece of paper? Does anyone know? Anyone remember? Something was on the piece of paper, yeah? A Bible verse. Does anyone know what the Bible verse said? I'm asking really hard questions today, aren't I? And I wasn't even here at the Holy Bible Club. Yes, do you know? Yes, from 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, he that honours me, I will honour. And, well, Eric Liddell decided that he was going to honour the Lord, and he took the piece of paper in his hand, and he held it in his hand as he ran the 400-metre race. And guess what? He won! That's for all those that are sleeping at the back. He won the race, and he got the gold medal. Do you think he was excited? Do you think he was excited? Yes, of course he was excited that he got it. And he ran it in 47.6 seconds. Not only did he win that race, but he also got a bronze medal for winning the 200-meter race as well. And of course, as you know in the story, he didn't want fame and fortune like he could have had. What did Eric Liddell want to do with his life? Who can tell me? What did he want to do with his life? Yep. Well, yes, he wanted to be a Christian, but he wanted to do something else. He wanted to be a missionary in China. And so he went back to China and he told people about the Lord Jesus and what Jesus could do in their lives. He wanted to serve God with all of his heart and all of his life. And that's what Eric Liddell did. He died whenever he was just 43. I had to write that down. He died whenever he was just 43 years of age. In prison camp. But he told people there about Jesus too before he died. He served the Lord with all of his heart. And so the Olympics have been a big part of this year as people have been watching the Olympics and taking part in the Olympics and following all that's been going on and running the race of the Olympics. And, you know, sometimes along the way as we've watched the Olympics, especially in the running, I've been watching it, and sometimes people fell along the way, didn't they? And did they just lie there and not get up? What do you think they did? Yeah, they got up and they ran on. And of course, who's this man here? Anyone know him? Yeah? You don't know what his name is? Yeah? Mo Farah. You don't remember that? No, he just started at the end of the race, Mo Farah. And he fell in one of the races And I was watching it thinking, oh dear, he was hoping to get a gold medal and he's fallen. And what did he do? He got up and he ran and he won the race at the end. In Rio this year, Great Britain got 67 medals, 27 gold, 23 silver and 17 bronze medals. That's a lot of medals, isn't it, that they won this year because of those that were determined that they were going to win. That's me running the race. That's me running to McDonald's, maybe, is it? I haven't won any medals for running the race. I brought some medals today with me that I was going to tell you that I won in all the races that I have done. Look, there's just a few of them, and there's a few more in there. All my medals for running races, but I can't tell you that because they're not mine. I had to go to my friend's house this morning and pick them up at his house because he's been, unlike me, he decided a few years ago that he was going to do some racing. And, well, it took a lot of determination for him to get up so early in the morning and to go out and run around the roads where he lives and then run for maybe 5 miles and then make 6 miles and then 7 miles and then 8 miles and then 10 miles and then eventually away up to 20-something miles because he wanted to do the Belfast Marathon. And he decided he was going to get there. And, well, the day of the marathon came and he ran and he ran and he ran. I was out of breath thinking about it. And eventually he got there and he won his first medal. And then he did another marathon and won his second and his third and his fourth and his fifth. And every year now he's been out doing marathons, running the race because he wants to win and he wants to get a medal at the end of it. Well, as I was thinking about all of that and thinking about the Olympics this year, I was thinking about the colours of the Olympic rings. And I don't know whether you've done that this week with Victor or not. But the different rings speak to me of different things. The blue ring it reminds me of God, of his royalty, and who God really is. We could talk about that today. The black ring or the dark ring speaks of sin, and we've heard about that already. We've been singing about that today. What can wash away my sin? Sin is disobeying God's commands, isn't it? I thought of the red ring. It can speak to us about the cross and how the Lord Jesus shed his blood for us on the cross. I thought about the gold ring, and it can speak about heaven. And also the green ring, it can speak about running the race, can't it? Whenever we come and ask the Lord Jesus into our hearts, running the race and growing to get to know God better and being like him. So today I want us to look at the gold ring or the yellow ring because it reminds me of a very special place, a place that we all want to go to someday. That place is called... Where's it called? I'll give you a clue showing you the picture. Yes? That place is called heaven, that's right. Heaven is a very special place. And of course, if we want to go to heaven, then we need to start the race, don't we? We need to start the race towards heaven. Does anyone know, or can anyone tell me how that we can start the race to go to heaven? Yes? You've forgotten, right? Okay. Yes, by asking the Lord Jesus into our hearts to take away our sin. Because we have to come to that point in our lives where there are two roads, where we decide which way we're going to go. If we're going to go our own way or if we're going to go God's way. If we're going to start the race in our own strength or we're going to start the race in God's strength. And we have to decide what we're going to do. And if we want to start the race for heaven, then the first thing that we need to do is realize what the Bible says is true. We need to realize that we're sinners. We need to realize that because of our sin, we're separated from God. Does anyone know how sin came into the world? Who can tell me? The Bible tells us, yeah. That's right, yes. Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. And because they disobeyed God, the Bible tells us that sin came into the world. They were put out of the Garden of Eden. And God promised that one day he would send a Savior into the world. And of course, many years passed, many generations passed, and they thought the Savior would never come. But one day, there was a little baby in Bethlehem. Remember what happened? Remember the shepherds were sitting out around the fields, And, well, we're coming up to Christmas again, aren't we? We're nearly there. You're counting down the weeks, maybe to Christmas time. And we think of the birth of the Lord Jesus and how the shepherds were sitting around the fields. They were just talking about everyday things. And as we were sitting there, suddenly the sky lit up. And there were angels. And the angels said, "Don't be afraid, because we bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And the promised Savior, who God promised to Adam and Eve, had come into the world as a little baby in Bethlehem. Does anyone know what the baby's name was? What was the baby's name? Yes, can you tell me right at the back? Yeah. No, the girl behind you? That's right, the Lord Jesus, the promised Savior, came into the world. But of course, he didn't come just to be a baby. He didn't come to grow up into a boy. He didn't come just to grow up into a man and do wonderful things that he did, like heal the sick and feed the multitudes and make the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. He didn't just come to do all of those things. The Lord Jesus came to go all the way to the cross and to die on the cross for you and for me. And you've heard about that this week, haven't you, in Holiday Bible Club, how the Lord Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and for me on the cross. And if we want to start the race, then we need to come to the place where we realize that we're sinners. We need to say sorry for our sin, and we need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart to be our Savior. And only when we do that, we can be sure that we're on the road, we're on the course that leads to heaven one day. I wonder today, have you started the race? Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior? That yellow ring reminds me of heaven, because heaven is a special place. Heaven is a place where there's no sickness. Maybe sometimes, you take a pain in your tummy, do you, or a pain in your head, and you don't feel very well. Well, I've got good news today, because heaven is a place where there's no more sickness. We'll not need tablets like these or medicines anymore. It's a place where there's no sickness. It's also a place where there's no sadness. Hands up if you've ever felt sad before. I'm sure lots of times we've felt sad, haven't we? Maybe sometimes, you fall and you cut your knee and, you cry, do you? Yeah. No, only the girls do that, is that right? Yeah. The boys do as well, don't they? Sometimes we feel sad. Maybe someone says something hurtful to us and we feel sad. The Bible says that there's no sadness in heaven. That's good news as well. The Bible also says that there's no death in heaven. Because, all of us have to die someday. But we can be sure if we go to heaven that there's no more death there, because we're going to live forever and ever and ever. And as I was thinking of that and thinking of go way back to the circle again, there's no beginning to the circle, is there? And there's no end to the circle. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. And that's like heaven. Heaven is forever and ever and ever. It's eternal. There's no more sadness there. There's no more death there. There's no more pain there. There's no more sickness there. But the Bible says there's no more sin in heaven. So that means if we haven't got our sin taken away, that we can't be in heaven. Is that right? Is that right? Yes. Unless we get our sin taken away, we can never, ever be in that place called heaven. How do we get our sin taken away? Who can tell me? How do we get our sin taken away? Yes. By asking the Lord Jesus into our hearts to be our Savior. It's a wonderful place where there's no sickness or sorrow or sadness or sin. But it's a wonderful place because God lives there. Now, we haven't got a picture for God. None of us know what God looks like. We haven't got a picture for God, but God is in heaven. And one day, we'll see him there. There are angels in heaven, the Bible tells us. How many angels do you think will be in heaven? How many? How many do you think? A million? There's thousands and thousands, maybe millions and millions of angels, we don't know, in that wonderful place called heaven. The Bible talks about a special book that's there. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Does anyone know what that book is? No? Does anyone know what the Lamb's Book of Life is? I better tell you then. Whenever we ask the Lord Jesus into our hearts to take away our sin and be our Savior, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we can be sure that we have a place in heaven because our name is there. And again, I wonder, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life today because you've asked Jesus into your heart to be your Savior? And of course, the Lord Jesus will be there. Because even though the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he was taken from the cross, his body, it was put into the tomb. But we haven't got a dead Savior today. We have a living Savior. And the Bible tells us that after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, a number of days later, he took his disciples out to Mount Olivet, and he lifted his hands to bless them. And as he lifted his hands to bless them, he began to go up, 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 up into the air. You see, he had told his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again." The Lord Jesus went back to God his Father, and as the disciples stood and looked up into heaven, the angels came and said, "What are you standing looking into heaven for? Because this same Jesus who has gone away from you will come again in the same way as you've seen him go." And so the Lord Jesus today is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, and he's the one who knows us today. He knows our hearts. He knows our needs. He knows how sad we are sometimes. He knows how happy we are sometimes. He knows everything about us. He even knows how many hairs we have in our head. He knows where we live today. But he knows our hearts, doesn't he? Whether we've asked him in or not, that's the most important thing. And the Lord Jesus will come again someday to take those who know and love him back to be with him in that place called heaven forever and ever. It's a wonderful place. They tell us that there are mansions in heaven. Does anybody live in a mansion down here? No. Thought Pamela had her hand up there. No. Okay, we don't live in a mansion down here, but the Bible says that there are mansions in heaven, that he's going to prepare a place for you and me if we have asked him into our hearts to be our Savior. There's lots of other things in heaven. We haven't time to talk about them all today. We're running the race. We're running the race to win. We want to be sure that we have a place in heaven by asking the Lord Jesus in our hearts, but not just that, but living for the Lord Jesus and telling others about Jesus too, that we might get the prize one day. Because the Bible tells us, for those of us who run the race, that there's a special prize, a crown of righteousness laid up for us in heaven. There's a prize for you and for me as we live for the Lord and as we serve the Lord, that we need to keep the faith and we need to finish the race. My friend, whenever he went out to do the marathon, one year he fell and he wasn't very well and he didn't finish the race. And if you could look through all of his medals there, that was the only year he didn't get a medal because he didn't finish the race. We need to finish the race and we need to finish well as we live for the Lord and as we serve him. But you see the question mark up there? There. That asks us the question as we finish today. Where are we? Have we started the race? Have we asked the Lord Jesus into our hearts to be our Savior? Are we sure as we run the race that heaven is our home for all of eternity? I hope that today that you will start, if you haven't started already, that you'll ask Jesus to be your Savior, that you'll run the race well, and that one day you'll get the prize as you serve the Lord with all of your heart.